Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio Independent School District voted last week to approve a contract that would allow the district to partner with a New York-based charter school network to operate one of its lower-performing school campuses. Democracy Prep Public Schools is being tasked with turning around Stewart Elementary School. But parents, teachers, and others have expressed opposition to this plan. We're now joined by SAISD Superintendent Pedro Martinez to learn more about this. And the phone lines are open. You can give us a call with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980. And Superintendent Martinez, great to have you back, sir.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me.
So tell me about this the decision-making process here.
Sure. So it was a very difficult one for us. So under the new law of 1842, it was a House bill that was passed back in 2013 or 2015, I believe, just before I started. If a campus, a school, is actually low performing, which means improvement required for more than 4 years or higher, the law says the commissioner will either force us to close the school or will appoint a board of managers if the board of trustees refuses to do it. This has been a huge debate throughout the entire state. When I started, Stewart had been low performing for 2 years. A new principal was put there by my predecessor. We gave additional resources to the school. I was checking in with the school on a regular basis. And sadly, even though staff worked very hard, we didn't see much improvement. We didn't see much progress. This year, I'm seeing we have a new leader in the school, again, doing a lot of hard work with the staff. The challenge with the law is that even though the children haven't been tested yet and we don't know results for this year, the law says that we have to make the decision by the end of the month of March. So in other words, our board had to find a different solution. So another law was passed that allows us to partner, and sadly it has to be a partnership, either with a proven, somebody with a proven track record, either a not-for-profit or a charter operator, and then that allows us to keep the school open. So the irony of this, David, is that we had to find a partner to actually keep the school open and keep it as a neighborhood school. So most charter operators, when they come into communities, they want a building and they want to start over and they want to select the type of grades that they're going to start with, sometimes the type of children they're going to serve. And this was an example where we wanted the exact same children that are there right now being served at Stewart to not have to move, because I don't believe it's the family's fault if we haven't been able to turn around the school and now this new law is in place. It isn't their fault, and why should they have to go to a different school? Especially when many of these families, and as I talk to them, some of them have generations of family members that have been to Stewart Elementary School. The other thing we found out in this process is, as I researched what was happening at Stewart, there is information right now, research information that shows us what has happened in the last few decades of students who have went to Stewart Elementary School. And what we learned was that half of the students, once they get to high school age, actually have dropped out of high school. So when we looked at the historical performance of Stewart, even before, for the last couple of decades, we haven't seen success. The reason we chose Democracy Prep was this is a charter operator in New York that's in New York, Louisiana, Washington, D.C., and in Nevada, and they just have a strong track record. They work with high-poverty children. They work on turnaround schools. They have one of the highest, not only graduation rates, 100% of their children graduate from high school, 80% go to Tier 1 universities, which is right what our vision is for our district, and they have one of the highest graduation rates out of universities. And so for us, when we looked at their values, it's a longer school day. They have two teachers in every classroom. The other part of this, David, and I get asked, is why can't you do this yourself? Well, first of all, the law doesn't allow us. The law says either you partner with somebody or you will have to close the school. But the incentive we get with partnering with somebody is we get 20% more funding than we currently get. And I wish it was a different option. But in terms of, the only option you have, either you partner or you close. But if you partner, there's an incentive because you get 20% more funding.
For the children and the parents involved at Stewart Elementary School, what changes are they going to see?
So what I've shared with families is what they're going to see is caring teachers, teachers who are going to challenge their children and provide a lot more rigor, a longer school day.
What do you mean longer?
So, for example, in New York, David, their school day starts at 7:30, and they go all the way to 4:30, and then they have to have after school programs that go to 6 p.m. for parents that need that. That is part of their model, And so much of the new resources that we're getting from the state are actually going to go for those types of services.
So it'll be a longer day, more rigor for these kids, and the parents will they have to pay more or pay anything, or how does that work?
So, David, so the good news for the families, they don't have to. So, first of all, we control the enrollment. We control any children that transfer or withdraw. So, therefore, the families don't have to do anything different than what they do in their normal registration for any of our schools. Every child has to be accepted. In fact, they cannot serve a child outside of the Steward community without our permission. And what we're going to make sure is that every child that's there, every child that wants to go to Steward will be able to have the first seat. So one of the things we have found, David, with other options we created, is as soon as the word gets out, parents, you know, they react. They respond in a very positive way. The feedback I'm getting from parents is that they say, you know, Mr. Martinez, we've seen the other options you created in our district. We have a Montessori school that's not too far from Steward. So we like those types of options. So we're going to trust that you're trying to serve our children the best way possible. The families don't have to pay anything. They don't even have to go through an admissions process. It's still their neighborhood school.
If a parent doesn't like the idea of a child going to a charter school or this charter school, do they have options?
Absolutely. So we tell parents, you know, if they, you know, we have many options in our district, both, you know, other neighborhood schools, other programs that they can definitely transfer to, and that will be their choice.
Let's go to the callers, 210-614-8980. In the studio with me now is Superintendent Pedro Martinez of SAISD, talking about turning Steward Elementary School into a charter school, a controversial decision with the district. And Peggy is on the line. Hi, Peggy. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, why weren't the parents involved in the decision-making earlier? The notice was given out like a week prior.
Thank you for the call, Peggy. Superintendent.
It's a great question, Peggy. And this was something we struggled with. We were trying to find what options we could actually implement. And so we were actually looking for different partners, because the challenges were that we either had the decision of put the school at risk to be closed, or we had to find somebody to partner with. We looked for months with an eligible partner. In fact, we looked at local universities. We looked at national institutions. And we were looking for somebody that had the right values. In hindsight, I wish I would have involved the parents sooner, but I'm not sure how much we could have shared with them besides the fact that these were the limited options we had. You know, yesterday we just approved another partnership with another charter operator for a very select group of children at one of our high schools. It's a subset of the high school. And there we actually did have the time and the ability to actually get a lot of input from teachers, parents. And so if I had to do it over again, that'd be the way I wish I could do it. The challenge was that this law is just so restrictive on what our limited options are.
So you're talking about Highlands.
Yes, that was last night that we approved for Highlands, partnering with the Texas Can Academy to serve overage children that right now, when we look at our dropouts, David, they represent almost 80% of our dropouts district-wide. Are these children that are undercredited, overaged? These are children that have been retained in earlier grades. Most of them are within our district. Some of them come from other districts, and we lose over 80% of them, and they drop out. And we already, at Highlands already this year alone, we already lost 70 children.
So that's going to be at Highlands, a charter school operating within the school.
Yes, sir.
It's not the entire school. It's just part of the overall campus.
That's right. Highlands serves over almost 1,700 students. This program would serve about 250 students at its max. Right around that's the target that we want to serve, and they're very specific. And it's an opt-in. Children have to choose that. So that was an example where we had the time. We didn't have this law upon us. This was a way to provide a better service for our children. With Democracy Prep, I feel they're a great partner, but we had, again, very, very limited options under the law.
So are there any other elementary schools that may have to also look at charter schools?
So that's a great question, Dave. So we have three other schools that we didn't find a partner for. Rodriguez on the west side, Tafoya on the west side, it's a middle school, as well as Miller on the east side, because these partners don't exist. So what charter operators want, and they want a building. They tell me all the time, Superintendent, give us the building. We'll take the building and we'll create a program. And I tell them, we're not a real estate company. We don't lease buildings. That's not what we do. We're an educational institution. That's what they want. They want the buildings to start programs all over. Sadly, what happens, and David, the children then just get shifted and moved around. And I've had to close a couple of schools because we were worried about, you know, what could be coming down legally from the state. For example, we closed Canal and we moved those children over to Highlands. One third of those children were overage, hence why now we're trying, we have to find a partnership to serve those children. We closed Wheatley and now been transformed to the Young Men Leadership Academy. Those children right now are being served at Davis Middle School. And Davis, who is a turnaround for me, who is, I mean, great work going on. Their teachers working very hard. They now have these children that have come from another school, no fault of their own, that are coming in very below grade level. And they're struggling to try to help these children catch up. And so the challenge that I find, David, is that, you know, when we close schools or redesign schools, the children wind up transferring to another building, another school. We don't fix the problem. And I have to share this story. When I was growing up, David, my family was forced to move from one apartment to another. My mother was very savvy. She would lie about our address just to keep me at the same school because she was worried about what the, all these different moves could, you know, how they would affect me. And to her, and I didn't realize it at the time that that's what she was doing, but to her credit, she did that. So I stood in my same elementary school, you know, from first grade to sixth grade because of that. And because of that, frankly, many of those teachers and the impact they had on me is the reason why I'm here in front of you. So I'm very sensitive to the fact that when we force families to move and it's not at their fault, the type of challenges that it creates for them.
So we're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. We're going to keep talking about this decision to go to a charter school, 10-year contract with the Stewart Elementary School, and what's happening with Tafoya and these other schools, what options are available, and what does this mean for the students, and why are these choices being forced upon us? What's happening with these schools? Why can't why are we not making these test marks? I don't know. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Pedro Martinez, SAISD superintendent. We're talking about the closing, not closing, but the, I don't know, the transformation for Stewart Elementary School, now Democracy Prep Public Schools, a charter school system is going to be taking over for that. So I'm really curious about what the neighborhood is like at Stewart Elementary School, because I think when we see schools that are in trouble like this, an elementary school, that should be sending up flares for all of us that there's probably a lot going on in that neighborhood that we need to be paying attention to.
That's exactly right, David. So, you know, and Trustee Guerrero, who represents that region, you know, she's grown up in that area. So it's right there in the southeast part of our city, right near Highlands High School. It's right off of Rigsby Street. And, you know, and I like to go down that neighborhood quite a bit because when you drive through there, you see not only, you know, the poverty, it's very visible. That area is not very dense, and so you see quite a bit, you know, there's quite a bit of land out there. But the challenges that we've seen is, you know, and this is a representation of our district. Many single-parent households, many children living with grandparents, different challenges that these families are going through, very little social services out there. There's just not a lot of social service supports out there. And so the southeast side is an area that's struggling, just like the west side, just like my east side. I mean, these are the three areas of poverty that I have the most densest you know, sets of individuals living in poverty. And the reality is that, and I say this very frankly, David, I think these neighbors were left behind. You know, when I look at the development that happened in this city over the last two decades, these neighborhoods were left behind. And our schools are working hard to try to work with these families. We, frankly, owe it to these families to have a better option for them. I was shocked, and so was Trustee Guerrero, when we found out that historically only half of the children that had attended Stewart Elementary School were graduating from high school. I mean, only, and that's historical.
That's a failure. Something's not happening there. So where is that failure coming from? It's because these are the kids that are dealing with so many stresses. They have so little stability that they are vulnerable academically because they're just not able to focus and learn.
One of the things that we know in our state, David, when you look at the correlation to low-performing schools and high-poverty neighborhoods, it's almost perfectly correlated. Not because the children can't learn. It's because our state doesn't properly fund schools that have these types of needs. So our formulas are so outdated. Many of the communities, to their credit, they try. But again, there's not a lot of social service supports. So when you have a single parent who's working two jobs, and they're just trying to make ends meet, they're worried about how they're going to stay in their apartment. They're worried about not getting evicted. Meanwhile, the child is falling behind. And in some cases, in some of our schools, when we don't have, the experienced teachers, when we don't have the stability that we need there, it just, again, just compounds the problem.
At the SAISD board meeting last night, you told the trustees that there could be facing a $31 billion revenue shortfall in 2018-19 because of a sharp decline in enrollment. Can you tell us more?
So what's happening right now, David, and we're seeing this countywide, we're seeing enrollment declines across all of my colleagues that as I talk to them, all the different ISDs, as you know, there's 16 different school districts here in Bexar County. And it's pretty consistent. Northeast just recently disclosed that they were down about 1,600 children this year, probably even a little bit more as the year is getting further along. We're down about almost 2,000 students this year. Our financials are very solid and very strong. We passed a TRE and a bond in the 2016 election. Our financials are strong. But we can't sustain a revenue shortfall of $31 million. And so for us, we see it as a county issue. It's not something that's specific to San Antonio ISD. By the way, I have many new options, many new programs. They're very popular. But yet, in spite of that, we're still seeing this type of decline. So I think as time goes by, we will see that there was a decline countywide. There'll be different theories about why that is. But right now, we are seeing it.
Okay, so people need to understand that when there are fewer students going into the classroom, that there's less state revenue coming in, and so that's where the drop-off comes from. Where are these students going? Well, I mean, you have to do a study, as you said, but what does your gut tell you?
My gut tells me, David, that we have a lot of issues here in our state about the stance we took on immigration. It's very complicated. Most of our children are born here in the U.S., but their parents may not be. I hear quite a bit of anecdotal data about children having to move with relatives, children having to move with friends of the family because somebody has been detained. Of course, there is a lot more charters in our community, so it's very competitive. But I've even talked to some of the charter operators, the larger ones, and they're down. And so for me, I don't have anything solid, concrete to be able to say that how immigration is affecting it, but I think it is a factor. And this is one of the states, Texas is one of the states that took a very negative stance on immigration.
But we keep hearing about people are moving to San Antonio in droves, and that this is counter to that.
Again, what I'm really interested to see, David, is this a one-year blip, or is this something that we're going to see that's more structural? Because, when you have Northeast, being down over 1,600 children, they're a district that are very similar to our size, and South San is down, Edgewood is down, and like I said, many Judson is down. So many of my colleagues are down. I think it's something that has to be looked at further.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to take a call from Rosa. And Rosa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I have two questions. Hi, good afternoon. I will have this question for the superintendent. Are they going to keep the school they just taking as a charter, or they're going to convert it to elementary?
Okay, Rosa. Rosa, thank you for the call. Did you get that?
Yeah. So here's the. I want to make and this is a good question, Rosa. Thank you for. So the reason we have this partnership is that it's going to be a neighborhood school. We control everything from enrollment. If children are going to transfer or if they're going to withdraw, they have to go through our system. So it is going to be Democracy Prep at Stewart. They're going to manage the academics and the program. They will hire the teachers. It will be an elementary school. It's still pre-K to 5. They will serve all of our special needs children, all of our ELL children. And so for us, we want to pilot this and try this and see if it works. They have 2 years to improve the performance. If they don't improve the performance, we can then cancel the contract. But it will still stay a neighborhood school as it is today.
So back to these other schools that you mentioned earlier that are on the bubble. One of them is Tafoya Middle School, which is a local school with a big legacy. A lot of people are familiar with it and have a lot of affection for it. You're saying that if they don't turn it around, they could face the same choice.
That's exactly right. So under the law of 1842, we had campuses, including Tafoya, Rodriguez, and Miller, Stewart, that if they didn't turn around, and we didn't have a partnership, that we could get a letter this summer that would actually force us to close the school a year later. And so that is something that is the risk that we have right now. My worry, David, is that, you know, right now, as much as I've gotten some pushback, and it's mostly been from the Alliance around our decision to partner with Democracy Prep, I think I'm going to get more pushback this summer if these schools don't turn around and, you know, they're going to ask me, why didn't you find a partner with them?
So what are you doing right now? People are saying, I mean, it's all hands on deck. We're throwing resources here. We're trying. If a teacher says she needs something, or he needs something, we'll give him something.
Yeah. So David, we have bent over backwards to provide not only support for these three schools, but any of our schools that are low performing. We have, you know, we've gotten additional resources, additional grants. We have additional academic coaches. We have master teachers. We call these our expert teachers that we prioritize specifically for these buildings. And I will tell you, I've been to the schools. They're doing amazing work. It is right now, everything that we see shows that they're going in the right direction. They're going to have academic growth. The biggest challenge we have, now Stewart is our lowest performing school in the entire district. So you got to put that in context. So Miller, Rodriguez, and Tafoya are not as low as Stewart. The challenge we have right now, David, is that the commissioner as of today has not released the accountability rules for our schools. So in other words, right now we're still working in the dark about, you know, what the new rules are going to be. They'll be in effect for this year, and our children haven't been tested yet. They're going to be taking their STAR assessments in April. And so for us, that's the frustration that our teachers have, is that they don't mind working hard. They don't mind, you know, and they understand that these schools have been low performing historically, and we are making changes to improve them. But they're working right now in a situation where they don't even have the rules of how it will be determined whether a school is IR or not. And so what we said is, look, let's just focus on helping the children read, making sure they're stronger in literacy, stronger in math, and that's what we're working on. The challenge, what I asked the trustees was, with Stewart being the lowest performing school we hadn't seen the growth in the last 4 years, two that I've been here, and I said, do you want to take that risk? And they said, absolutely not. They were worried about forcing, because that's about 400 children. Those families, there's not a lot of choices out there, David, in that area. Most of the schools around there are very small. Not that we have a lot of great choices for the other schools, but in that school, the trustee said, we just don't want to take that risk.
So when people are reacting to this decision by SAISD to partner with the charter school, do you think they're just sort of like, you know, thinking about charter schools in sort of a negative way overall, and we have to focus on what's best for these kids?
I do, David. And by the way, I respect different opinions. I think one of the things that's important is that we should never be allowed as a public entity to just make decisions and say, hey, you know, just trust us on this, right? We need to be accountable. So I'm a true believer that we always need some pressure and some tension whenever we make these difficult decisions. The challenge that I just ask people to look at the limited options we had. It wasn't, and we invested a significant amount of resources at Stewart. The challenge that we have right now, it's a national challenge, David, and this is a statewide challenge. Whenever you see a very high density of poverty, just like in this neighborhood, with a lack of social services, a lack of funding from the state, the correlation to them being low performing as a school is almost perfectly correlated, and it is sad.
And your position as a superintendent at SAISD, you're also being able to have a view of across the state. You talk to other supers, and they're telling you we're dealing with big issues all across the state of Texas.
That's right. So David, one little data point. 90% of the low-performing schools in the entire state, there's over 350 of them, are high-poverty neighborhood schools.
So we got to remember that. All right, Pedro Martinez, superintendent for San Antonio Independent School District. You're welcome back anytime. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.